Okay, again, we want to give you a shkoyach teleglazer for the Sfarim Toma Devaira. Most of us, if we have the same edition, so we can follow the pages when we want to refer to anything. If you see here on the title page, if you open up your sefer, the Toma Devaira, as you can see, that this is from Harav HaMakubu Hueloiki Vareno Harav Ramoshe Cordoviro. Now, a little bit of background so we know what we're talking about and what we hope to achieve by learning the Sefer. Ramoshe Cordoviro, basically, his family comes from Spain, most likely from the city of Cordova. And Lamaise, he himself, though, was born already in Tzfas. Tzfas Ira Mukubolim. He was born in Tzfas in the year Resh Pei Beis, which is 1522. Rav Moshe Cordoviro was nifted at a very young age. He lived to be only 48 years old. So if he was born in 1522, he was nifter in Chov Gimel Chodesh Tammuz. It was in the year 1570, Tovshin Lamed. He's known in the world when you talk about Rav Moshe Cordoviro. He's not just identified by the Sefer Toma Devaira. There's many, many Sfarim that we'll mention as we go along. But he's known as the Ramak. That is the Rosh HaTevis by what he's known by, the Resh Mem Kuf, which is Rav Moshe Cordoviro. Also very well known as the Bal HaPardes, because one of the Sfarim that he wrote is called the Sefer Pardes Rimoinim. Pardes Rimoinim, again, a Sefer on Kabbalah, with the great Balam Kabbalim of all time. He lived at the time that he lived in his era in Tzfas. It was the golden age of Tzfas. It was the time, the Tkufa, that the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch, lived. It was the time where Reb Shlomo Alkabitz, the Mechaber of the Lochadoidi, lived. And at the end, as a matter of fact, he became a brother-in-law to Reb Shlomo Alkabitz. The Ramak became a brother-in-law. And of course, the Arizal, of course, also lived and worked at that particular time. The Ramak, when you talk about the Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordoviro, basically, he started with many, many different chochmas. He was great in all chochmas. He's known for chochmas anister, for the esoteric part of Torah, which he started to learn chochmas anister at the age of 20. And his Rebbe was Reb Shlomo Alkabitz, which was the Rebbe, as we said, the Baal of Lochadoidi. As he writes himself in the Hagdoma to the Sefer Pardes Rimoinim, there he writes that he learned Kabbalah. He was 20 years old. He learned from Reb Shlomo Alkabitz. Matter of fact, in terms of the different degrees and levels of Kabbalah between the Ramak and the Arizal, as a matter of fact, the Arizal also is considered to be sort of a Talmud of the Ramak. Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes in Sefer Keser Rosh. In Sefer Keser Rosh, Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes that when the level of Kabbalah ends by the Ramak, from there begins, he says, the Kabbalah of the Arizal. Very interesting relationship between the different levels of Kabbalah. Memokim, he says, Shemistayim, where it ends the level of Kabbalah from the Ramak, he says, from there, Ulamalo, Maschel, he says, the Kabbalah of the Arizal. Many, many different form of different assets, and even various aspects of Kabbalah on the Zohar, Raya Mehemna, the Idris, Safra Ditzinyusa. These are all considered to be like openings and gates to Chochmas of Kabbalah. So those who study Kabbalah know and understand the various Svarim, the contribution, all the different areas of Kabbalah. But it's important to note that in spite of the fact that the Ramak is known for his greatness in Kabbalah and the contribution to Kabbalah, he was very great as well in Teres HaNigla. In Teres HaNigla he learned by none other than the Beis Yosef himself. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Yosef Karo. And one can see that personally testified to the godless of the Ramak in Nigla, one of the lesser well-known Sfarim of the Beis Yosef. We know the Beis Yosef, and we know that he wrote the Shulchan Aruch as well. There's also Shalos Yitshuvos called Avkas Reichel. Avkas Reichel, this is the powder, you know, of the peddler who used to sell perfumes and so on and so forth. The name of the Shalosh Yeshuvas of the Beis Yosef is called Avkas Reichel. I have a copy. And there we have Tshuvas LaHalocha, various Shilas that they asked from the Beis Yosef. If you look in the Avkas Reichel Simon Tzadik Aleph, the Beis Yosef prints an entire Tshuva from beginning to end from the Ramak, which is the Tshuva LaHalocha in Choshe Mishpat. And Ramak paskins a certain way. And the Beis Yosef, when he saw that tshuva, obviously, we see it's printed there, so he signs off, the Beis Yosef signs off and says, when I saw the tshuva of the Ramak, leis din tzorech b'sheishe, says, there's no more need to go into the subject, the high dayne, and this dayne, meaning the Ramak, nochis l'umke didine, he went into the din, he says, with all of its depth, v'chol hay milim al yosef lemra mishmei, they should always say such good things in his name. In other words, he can be proud of that tshuva that he wrote. And the Beis Yosef says further, V'yikuyimboi mikro shekosot b'ni imchochem libcho yismach libi gamoni. Means so happy, then can be proud, his parents can be proud, I can be proud as a Rebbe, and so on, to the chochmes ha-teira in nigla, that the Ramak in fact has. As well also, there's the second tshuva, second time that the Ramak is mentioned in the tshuva, the Beis Yosef, Tevin Ezer, and Dinek Subis, and Simen Beis. Also one of the contemporaries, one of the great Baal HaMekubalim of all time. Now we're going to the Italian Baal HaMekubalim. Keep talking about here in Tzfas, the Ramak lived in Tzfas. The Ramah Mepanu, someone that we mentioned many times in Shalashudis, Rabbeinu Menachem Azariah of Panu. Rabbeinu Menachem Azariah of Panu himself was one of the greatest Mekubalim of all time. He himself was Nifter in the year 1625. And he's known as Ramah Resh Memayin by this Rosh Tevis, Ramah Mepanu from the city of Panu in Italy. And he was revered, Ramah Mepanu himself was revered by all the Gedoy Lahador. While he was still young, the Ramah Mepanu himself, already he gained a reputation as being a Godel Hador. He married rich, and as a result he was able to do a lot of tzedakah in Harbotas HaTorah, in supporting Talmidim and supporting Torah. All of his life of the Ramah Mepanu was Mugdish for Torah and Tefillah. All the Oitzrus HaTorah is said was open to him. He had knowledge in all areas of Torah, Zecharef and Abaki. He was a Marbitz Torah. He had a yeshiva in a city called Rugiso in Italy. Hundreds of Talmidim literally around him. Shilas came from all over, from different countries to the Ramah Mepanu. And he answered to all of them, it was by him one was able to see Torah Gdula B'mokei Mechot. He was a big Oisher, as we mentioned. And interestingly enough, he was in Italy. The Beis Yosef, when he needed his Sforim to be printed, namely, let's start with the Kesef Mishneh. The Kesef Mishneh on the Rambam, which was written by the Beis Yosef. So the Ramah Mepanu was appointed to be the supervisor. The Beis Yosef commissioned the Ramah Mepanu that he should supervise the printing. You know why? Because the printing was in Italy. And therefore, the Kesef Mishneh had to be printed in Italy, and he needed someone over there to supervise. And that was in Venice. Venice was the great center of printing Sfarim at the time. And the Mela, so the Beis Yosef appointed the Ramah Mepanu to be the overseer. And Ramah Mepanu did better than that. Not only he supervised the printing, he always was mishtatev in the expenses. It was a big donation as well. So that helps also. Interesting, in relation that we're talking about here to the Ramak, coming back to the Ramak, the Ramah Mepanu happened to see some of the Kizvei Yad of Rav Moshe Kar Deviru, and he was so impressed, and I have the Lashon somewhere here, that he paid the almona after the Petira. And the Ramak, as we saw, Nebuchadnezzar was Nifter very young, but his Kizvei Yad, therefore, of course, remained after him, and they needed to be published. And he himself became such a fan, and felt that there's a tremendous need to have this revealed to the world, the Kizvei Yad of the Ramak. So in order to influence somehow the almona, to entrust him with the Kizvei Yad to allow to copy it and to print it, he spent at the time, he gave her 1,000 zehuvim, 1,000 gold coins, which is understood to be, some even today, to be an exorbitant amount of money. He paid all of that money to the almona in order to allow him to have the Kizvei Yad of her husband, of her late husband. Particularly, there was a sefer Oyer Yoker. It's another sefer from the Ramak, which is a Pirush on the Zohar. To copy it and so on, there's 16 sections there. Besides, he also paid Hoytzos Atfus for the paper and for the printing and all of that. But in addition, to convince the Almon, in case the thousands of Zehuvim don't do it, he also sent money to other Gedoyli Yisrael in Tzfas. Namely, he sent 20. He said 20 gold coins he sent to the Beis Yosef, 20 he sent to Reb Shloime Elkabitz, and another 10 he sent to the Al Sheikh HaKodesh, who also, by the way, was a contemporary who lived at the time. All in order to be able to be matzliach, in order to be able to extract that ksavyad. So this, as we see, this was the Ramam Epanu. So the Ramam Epanu himself writes in the Hakdomah to a sefer called Pelech HaRimoin. The sefer Pelech HaRimoin is a kitzer on the sefer of the Ramak, which is called the sefer HaPardes, Pardes Rimoinim. So the Ramam Epanu, matter of fact, made a kitzer of the sefer of the Ramak, and he called that sefer Pelech HaRimoin. And there he writes the great Shvachim of the Ramak, Ramosha Kar Deviro. And he writes as follows. He writes, the Yoiser Shehoya Chochem Godel B'Gemora, he says, he was a tremendous Chochem in Gemora, who Yosha B'Yeshiva Kol Yomov. In other words, he was a Marbitz Torah all his life. On the Ramak, he's writing L'chadiris HaTalmidim, in order to teach Talmidim, for Yugamkin Kvu Elohai Roa, also to Paskin Alocha L'maisa Lishpoi Tzedek Ben Ish U'Menochiv U'Ben Geiroi. So Kaponim, so the Ramak, there's no question, as we see, was revered by all the Gedolei Yisrael, not only in Kabbalah, but also, as we saw, great in Torah Sanigla as well. From the Gedolei Talmidim, of the Ramak, was a great Baal Mekubal by the name of Rav Avrom Galanti. Rav Avrom Galanti was a Mechaber of a Sefer called Yerach Yokor, that is sort of a takeoff on the Sefer Oyer Yokor that the Ramak wrote. Oyer Yoker means the dear light. Oyer Yoker, this is Yerach Yoker, like the light of the moon. And as was explained by the Chidor, writes in the Sefer Shem HaGdolim, and he says, there's a chelik called Oyer Hachama, which means that Ramak is Oyer Hachama, Oyer Yoker is like the sun, and Avram Galanti is a reflection of his Rebbe, like Pnei Moshe ke Pnei Chama, and Pnei Yeshua ke Pnei Levono. So Rabbi Avram Galanti was a Talmud, so his Sefer is called Yerach Yoker. That my light isn't as great as my Rebbe's, but sort of it's like the moon. That's the idea of the Sefer being called Yerach Yoker. Also, one of the famous Talmidim of the Ramak was the Mechaber of the Reishis Chochma, with the great Baal Sefer Musar, of course, which is a Sefer which is mixed with Musar, also on the Yesodis of Kabbalah, but a lot of it can be understood, and it's a Sefer which is accepted B'chol Tutzis Yisrael. Many people have learned the Sefer, Reishis Chochma, and then so on and so forth. And interesting, Reb Chaim Vital, the famous Talmud of the Arizal, also learned before he became a Talmud of the Arizal, he also learned before the Ramak. And a matter of fact, going back to the Ramam Epanu from Italy, as we mentioned before, the Ramam Epanu, even though he did not formally learn from the Ramak face to face, peh-o-peh, he was in Italy, the Ramak was in Tzfas, but nevertheless, he considered and he referred to the Ramak as being his Rebbe Muvik, because he learned from the Ksovim. And by learning from the Ksovim, he considered himself to be an actual Talmud Mamish of the Ramak, as he writes in the Hakdomah to his Sefer Pelach Rimoinim. He writes, Yoidea kol shar basami, everybody knows who comes through, Shekol yomai hu yisi mechaviv devorov bekol rav, that all my life, he says, I was mechaviv, I endeared and I loved the words of the Ramak. He says, but I call Rav, in other words, I did it befreshi, I taught the teachings of the Ramak, he writes. Bebote kinesias and bebote medroshes. And then he writes, the emes Rav Muvak Hili. He's really my Rav Muvak. He's my main Rebbe. Mitoich Svarov, though. He writes from the Svarim to Hilul Lekel. The Chayav Aniloi. And therefore, being that he's my Rebbe, I owe him, he says, Moire v'kovid b'shnei elomois. On this world, he says, and in the next world, I owe him kovid. He says, like any other regular Talmidim, he says. And so on and so forth. He says, Ashrov, he says, Shoyamola b'toyra kol shenoysov, osanachas ruach le'yotzroi, leilas kayomim, and so on and so forth. Just interesting, just to mention, before we go on, that regarding the Ramak, the godless of the Ramak in his personal life, besides the contribution of his writings in his Sforim, is brought down in the Hagdoma of Seder HaRizal, is brought down, that it says, that Ramak many, many times was Zoichet to Gilu Eliyahu. Was Zoichet that Eliyahu Hanavi revealed himself to him. And it's written the Hagdom of Seder HaRizal. It writes that there's a Seder in HaRizal, and I mentioned it once or twice in the past, once by Shalashudas, we even said a beer on it, because there's different ways of understanding it, but whatever the beer is, whatever the explanation is, this is what he said. that is gula for taharas ha-machshove. Is gula in order to purify one's machshove. A person many, many times has all types of thoughts, impure thoughts that come to the mind. You try to get rid of it, and sometimes the more you try to get rid of it, it just sticks with you. So there's a zgula from the Ramak, what a person should say in order to be able to remove impure thoughts, to be metaris machshove. And it's written, the Hagdama Seder Arizal, the Haramak Kibel Mipi Eliyahu Zal. This gula is not his own. This is a zgula that Ramak was a makabel from Eliyahu Hanovi. Sheyoymer har bepomim. If a person is confronted with impure thoughts, what is this gula? They say many times the posik, Eish tomid tukad ala mizbeach leisichbe, which means that the fire will continuously burn on the mizbeach leisichbe, should never be extinguished. By saying that posik, he says, v'tis batel machshavtoi. Why davke that posik? He doesn't explain it. And once we suggested a number of biurim, some number of perushim, but be as it may, here is a zgula that the Ramak was makabel, as it is said, as it were, mipi Eliyahu. His gula for taharas machshove is to say few times over and over again to say the posuk eish tomid tukad al mizbeach lisichbe. Now, if you think that this is just mentioned in one place, the Shloha Kodesh himself, in the Sefer Shloha Shar HaOsius, he writes as follows. This is a loshon to the Shloha. Shloha himself writing this. Umatzosi laharam kordeviro shekosav. Now, when the Maram wrote it, he didn't say he heard it from Eliyahu. You know what the Maram wrote? He said, Lomdeini Zokin Echot. An old Zokin taught me, he says, an elderly person, an old Talmud Chochom. Levate la machshove, yoimer posuk zehar bepomen, to say this posuk, Eish tomi tukad ala mezbeach leisichbe. Kamens the Shloh. The Ramak didn't reveal who that Zokin is. Ube einai poshut, shezeh ha-Zokin hoyo Eliyahu Hanovi. You hear what the Shloh says? Amazing. Shloah says, in my eyes it's poshut that Zokin will arrive in Vusunosoi due to the great humility, the anivus of the Ramak. He didn't want to reveal that he was Zoichet Gil Eliyahu, so he didn't reveal it that it was Eliyahu Hanovi. Arrive in Sunosoi shall harav loirotsu legalois. He didn't want to reveal it. But in fact, as we've seen a number of places, that's gula that the Ramak brings is in fact is from Eliyahu Hanovi. He was Zoichet Gil Eliyahu many, many times. And by the way, the same thing, the Chidor also in Shema Gdolim, the Chidor writes that the Ramak was Zoichet to Gil Eliyahu Hanovi. Also, it's kedai to mention that the Ramam Apanu in the Hagdome to the Sefer Pelach HaRimayim, writes that at the time of the Levaya, when the Ramak was Nifter, as we mentioned before, at a very, very young age, and we mentioned a number of associations that the Ramam Apanu had with the Ramak, as we mentioned before, but in addition to that, the Ramam Apanu writes that one of the Maspidim was the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef was one of the Maspidim who was Maspid, the Ramak. And he writes also further, this is the Ramam Apanu writing. Ramam Apanu writes, you want to know what took place at the Levaya? You want to know what took place at the Levaya of the Ramak? So he writes, Tochazi, come and see, come and look. Man gavre rabid asid alei. You want to know what took place at the Levaya, not everybody was able to see it. The Arizal was able to see it. And the Arizal was made Shiro Treya Mude Denura. He saw two pillars of fire. So said the Arizal. That he saw two pillars of fire, Malavin Oisoy Lifne Hamito Beyoimed Dehulula. So you see the greatness, of course, you see the greatness of the Ramak. And so on. This is mentioned, this fact about the two pillars. That took place at the time of the Levaya is also mentioned in the Sefer Charedim by Reb Lozer Azakri, who is also again another contemporary who wrote the Sefer Charedim, which is a Sefer HaMitzvahs. Of course, himself, of course, was a tremendous tzaddik, as the Rizal himself revealed, because in the beginning he was an Ish Nister, he was like the Shamus in Tzfat. He was the Shamus. The Rizal said that he's one of the greatest in the generation, and he wrote the Sefer Charedim, and he also writes about these two pillars. And so on, as mentioned, the Chidor also in the Shema Gdolim. Probably one of the most Mefursim Degespedim that ever was said, certainly by the Arizal, is the famous Vort that the Arizal said on the Ramak Pishas, the Petira, that he was Nifter so young, Befrat. And the Arizal quoted the famous Posek in Devorim Chof Aleph, the Chayyeh Be'ish, Chayt Mishpat Moves Vehumos. He says, when you have a person, Kipshut, of course, a person, like it did on Aveira, Chet Mishpas Moves, and he was killed by the Bezin, But Talisa Oisai Aleitz, as the Pazik says, one is Chayv Skila, but Talisa Oisai Aleitz. So the Rizal said the word Chet has a dual meaning. The word Chet also means a Loshen Chasorn. It's fine, number of places in Tanakh. So he says, so what happens if a person really did not have a Chet at all? So Bemz, he shouldn't have to die. Because the Gemara says in Shabbos, Ein Misa B'loi Chet. That one does not die if he does not have a Chet. So what is a person, Taku, who in fact did never had a Chet? Why should he die? The only reason he had to die is because Adam Rishon did a Chet. And since Adam Rishon did a Chet, the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, so therefore, subsequently, everybody has to die, regardless of Chet or not. So the Arizal said the following. This is what the Pasuk is saying. That sometimes, V'chiyeh be'ish Chet Mishpat Modis. He'll be missing a Mishpat of Modis. Chet Loshen Chasaron. He will not deserve to die. And yet, V'humas, he did die. You know why? For Talisa Oysa Aleitz, he'll be toil on the Eitz Hadas. He says, it's because of the Eitz Hadas. That was what the Arizal said, that Elvai, the Ramak did not have an Achet. Ramak did not have an Aveira. The only reason he died was because of the Chet of Adam Adas. It was Nigza Misa in the world. That's from the very first Chet in the world, in the Bria. That was what it was, the Talisa Oysa Aleitz. So as we begin here, the Sefer Toim of Devaira, it's not written Beferish. In other words, the Ramak did not write Beferish why he called the Sefer Toim of Devaira. Toim of Devaira, Lamaisa, happens to be one of the Shivim Tomorim, one of the 70 sections from a Sefer of the Ramak, which is called Elima Rabosi. Elima Rabosi is a Sefer Hagdoma to Chochmas HaKabbalah. Elima Rabosi is a Sefer Hagdoma to Kabbalah, and it's a takeoff on the words, if you remember, in Parshas Bishalach, when the Yidden were looking for water. So the Pasuk says there, Vayovoyu Elima, right? So the Pasuk, Visham Shteim Esrei, right? Aino Samayim, there were 12 wells of water, Vishivim Tomorim. So the Sefer Elima Rabosi, there is Shivim Tomorim, 70 sections, and the Sefer Toimer Devaira happens to be one of the sections. It's one palm, as it were. One Toimer, it is one palm of those 70 sections. Also the Sefer Toimer Devaira, some of it is based upon the Sisrei, on the hidden parts of Teiris HaZoyar. Those are the parts we're not going to dwell on. However, by and large, it's the Sefer Musar, the Milas Hamidis, and the Holachto Bedrochov. This became a Sefer Musar, which was accepted, as said, by all, whether it's Hasidim, Misnagdim, doesn't make a difference, all across the board. It's a Sefer that was revered throughout the generations. We see many, many generations. Let me just tell you, the first time that the Sefer was published was in Venice, was in 1589. That was the first time that the Sefer was published. Since then, it was published many, 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 many times. And much later, was also published when Yisrael Salanter himself, Yisrael Salanter himself, the founder of the Musar movement, is one of the Talmidim. One of the Talmidim published the Sefer, another edition, published an edition of a Sefer Toimer Devaira in Königsberg. That was, of course, where even today the cave of Yisrael Salanter is, in the city of Königsberg, in the year 1858. So it was another edition. After many, many editions, another edition. And also in Keln, it was a very popular Keln, also the home of Musar. Kelm also studied a lot the Sefer Toimer Devaira, as one can see in the writings of the Alter from Kelm. We see the Alter from Kelm, from time to time he would be mekabel various Kabbalahs. He made always new resolutions. He was mekabel more and more and more. So you see, among the Kabbalahs of the Alter from Kelm, and I'll tell you the year, was Erev Yom Kippur 1892. So they found in the writings, because he wrote down the Kabbalahs, what he expects, you know, to be Mekabal for the next year. So among the Kabbalahs, he writes to be Mekabal to learn the Sefer Toimer Devaira B'chol Yoyim. Interesting. The Alter von Kelm. Among his Kabbalahs, to learn the Sefer Toimer Devaira every day. And it is said that when Rabbi Yoel Laplian, when he came to the caver of the Ramak, which is in Tzfas, anybody who visits Tzfas, of course, if you've been to the cave Arizal, it's right there, Mamish next to it. The cave of the Ramak, the cave of the Mabit, and right a little bit higher, the cave of course of Reb Shlomo Kabbis, the Mechabad Lachadoidi. These are one of the most frequently visited kivarim, you know, that you'll find. And Rabbi Lapian, when he came to the cave of the Ramak, it is said, he said the following words. He said, and he pleaded, and he spoke in front of the caver, and it was like speaking to the Ramak, and he said, Rabbeinu Moshe Kordaviro, he says, we are learning your Sefer. We are learning your Sefer, I want you to know, we are learning your Sefer, Toimer Devaira, Bikvius. And we received many, many benefits by learning that Sefer. The Alter von Kelm told us to learn the Sefer every Friday night. This is what he said at the Kever of the Ramak. And we have been keeping to this instruction, he says, loyally. Every Friday night, to have a Seder in the Sefer Toim HaDavayre. And therefore, in Schus, that we are learning your Sefer, we ask and we are mispalel, he says, Rabbi Yopam says to the Ramak, that you should be a Melus Yosher, on all of the yeshivas kedoshes that are learning Musar, that they should be able to be mamshich and to be oil in their avodas Hashem without any obstacles. And as we're going to look into the Sefer now, you can't start the Sefer without looking at the Yaskom of the Shlo HaKodesh himself. And you'll see that the Shlo HaKodesh himself writes in the Akdama that whoever learns the Sefer, he says, every week or every month, muftach lo yishu ben oilom habo. It's amazing words. So we're going to take a look now at the Sefer. Let us take a look here as we take a look first at the Hakdama of the Shlo HaKodesh. See here the Hakdama of the Shlo HaKodesh. Let me just mention to you that the Shlo HaKodesh, of course, is one of the few who had automatically, this was not by any election, this was instinctive. Klal Yisrael knows whom to revere without any official appointment. You don't need appointments. Gedolei Yisrael do not become the greatest and the revered because people got together and had a meeting, decided this is going to be the next Gadol b'Yisrael. This instinctively, they just emerge that way. The Rebbein Shalom has his ways that the world to be able to recognize and to be able to sense. And therefore, there are not too many who are zeichet to have the name Kodesh attached to the name, like you say, Rechaim HaKodesh, you say Alshech HaKodesh, and so on, Shlo HaKodesh. Shlo HaKodesh certainly is one of those. Shlo HaKodesh, of course, himself was a great goyin and a mekubal and was an ish kodesh, as is known by the name. And he himself was the same tkufa. He was nifter in 1630. All right, so he lived his life, you know, the second half of the 1500s and into the 1600s. And he was the Talmud of his father, basically, the Shlo HaKodesh. His father was Reb Avraham, as is known. And he was the Talmud of the Maram Lublin and from the Ramo. Shlo HaKodesh was the Talmud of the Maram Lublin. He was the Talmud of the Ramo. And he also married rich. Interesting. Just like the Ramam Apanu. He also married rich. And he was Rav in the most illustrious rabbinical positions of the time. It was the city of Posen. He was also Rav in Krakow. He was a Rav in Vienna. He was a Rav in Frankfurt. And wherever he was Rav, he always was a Rosh Yeshiva of very large yeshivas. He had literally thousands of Talmidim. And it was in the year 1606 that he became Rav in Frankfurt in Germany. And at that time, they gave him a salary which was an unprecedented salary. And the amount that is mentioned was 400 gold coins a year, which was supposed to be an amazing amount of money, which was very, very unusual. And he sat there to the year 1614 because at that time started a pogrom against the Eden, as is known in Frankfurt, and he left. He left, and the Shlo HaKodesh... Shlo HaKodesh was together with, these were his chaverim, of course, his Rebbe, the Maram Lublin, with the Marshah. At the same time, he, the Maram, the Sma, the Marshah signed in the Vad Arba Rotzis, like the leaders of the Jewish people, Jewish community all over, making all of the takonis, which accepted upon the Jewish community. Together with, by the way, the Kliyokar, the Bal Oilus Ephraim, was also part of that group. So you have the Shlo, the Maram, you have the Ramah, yeah, you have the Marshah, and you have the Oilus Ephraim. Once he left Frankfurt, he goes back to Prague, and he becomes the Rav there in 1615, together with the Kleyoker, by the way, two Rabbonim holding the same post. Kleyoker is Nifter first, and he remains to be the only Rav then, as a matter of fact, in Prague. I just want to tell you that his son, there's no slouch either, son wrote a Sefer, Reb Sheftel, of course, was the Baal Vovei Ho'amudim. That's the name of the Sefer, Vovei Ho'amudim. And his Kefer is visited today in Vienna. That's where the Kever of Reb Sheftel is. Interesting. Yiddish Shlo HaKodesh, of course, is in Eretz Yisrael because he was early to Eretz Yisrael, and one can see his Kever in Tveria. At first, he lived in Yerushalayim. He didn't go to Tveria. Shlo HaKodesh lives in Yerushalayim. And he was appointed Morad Arad Yisrael as being the chief rabbi over the entire land. And all of his Ashiris he spent to be Mechazik Talmid HaChachomim, to the extent that his son Reb Sheftel writes, and I'll tell you the Loshin, it's amazing, he says, He never sat at his table without tens of Talmidim feeding them on a daily basis. He writes, Meyomov loy posku mishulchonoy shmoinim nefoshes. He says, every day asher hechilon matamim, he says, barburim avusim petumim. The most highest, he said, most expensive foods and delicacies that one can imagine, he gave. He says he had 80 talmidim, 80 people sitting at least on his table. He said that was b'choil, b'shabosois, b'moyadim, he says, and so on and so forth. And finally he writes, when he was nifter, he says, the Kovod HaTorah really, he says, was lost from Klal Yisrael. And he writes then at the end, that my father was zoichel lekovid kezesh loizocha shumoda mesheshes mebreshes. That he was so revered, he says, that no one had that kind of a kovid mesheshes mebreshes. Just amazing words, of course, on the Shlach Kodesh. So let's take a look what the Shlach Kodesh writes over here. So we see here, the Shlach writes, B'yoyis, he says, Sha'asefer anichbad azeh hu kula Yerushamayim. Being that the Sefer Torah Dvar over here is completely Yerushamayim, v'kibul oil malchusa yizborach. The Sefer here is basically is to teach a person how to be mekabel upon oneself the yoke of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to serve Him. And v'hoylech b'darkei medoysev yizborach. And in order to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in following in His ways. As a matter of fact, if one were to choose a second name for the Sefer Toimer Devoyer to describe the Sefer should be called v'holachto b'drochov. Because that, in fact, that is what the Sefer is all about. The Sefer Toimer Devoyer really, in essence, is v'holachto b'drochov, which he teaches us how to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of these midos and all of the character traits. A person has to refine his midos. That is the essence, that is the tachlis of being a yid, that is the tachlis of the person being born in this world, the tachlis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing you down here. Godel Talmud, the tachlis of all the learning and everything, after all is said and done, the shleimus of a person in this world is tikkun hamidos. That is the refinement of midos, and that is what the Shlach Kodesh is referring to. That one learns in the Sefer how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to follow Bedarkei Midos of Yizborach. Ubevadai mi shirogel b'sefer al-nichbad azeh u'mikaymoi. It's no question, he says, certainly a person who is going to be rogel, a person who is accustomed to learning this choshev sefer, and not just to learn it, but mikaymoi, he says, to follow it, to do it. Yeshloi mahalchim bein ho'oimdim. He will be among, he says, will have a way among those that are stationary. The Malachim are called the Oimdim because they cannot grow in their Madrega because they don't have a Bechira. They are created by Hashem for whatever Tafkid they have. What he's saying is that a person, a human being, who follows the teachings of this Sefer will have a Schus that when he comes to Shemaim, he will be ranked in the Madrega of the Malachim. And then he says further, "V'chazi," he says, "Man gavra rabbe chiber ha-sefer al-nichbad hazeh." And then, besides looking at the sefer, look at the machaber. In other words, the sefer stands on its own merit. But in fact, look at who the machaber was. Writes the Shlach HaKodesh, and look at the title that he writes on him. He says, "Ish elikim kodosh ha-meir li-yoylam kuloi b'chokhmosei v'chasidusei." Someone who enlightened, illuminates the entire universe, he says, with his chokhmah and his erlichkeit, his piety. Moreinu Rav Moshe Kordeviro Zatzal. Alkein ani yoimer, therefore I say, Shiro v'nochen ha-hatvis ha-sefer ha-nechbar hazeh. That it is so appropriate to print the sefer k'dei l'zakris es Yisrael in order to be able to bring schus to Klal Yisrael. Ki ha-talmud boi mevi l'dei maise. Because hopefully by learning the sefer, a person will be brought to actually fulfill and to do the Yira and Yerushimayim v'chassidus. And then he says, V'hine Moreinu Reb Yitzchak Elio, he says, Bar Uri HaKoyen, Reutel L'Zakis Ram, that was the name of the person who printed this edition, which is very, going back to the beginning. This is the second edition, actually. The Shlo is talking about the second edition. So there was an earlier edition that was printed. But this edition, you see, if you see here on top, under the Askama, that was Shnas Shin Peyalef. The first one was Shin Menpes, as we pointed out. So that was the earlier one, 1589. So he says that this Yitzchak Elio wants to be Mezakis Rabim Lahatis HaSefer Zeh U'megalgen Zchus Al Dei Zakai Zchus Rabim Toliboy Al Kein Roy Liknois Memeno HaSefer Zeh Bekesef Moli. Enable him, take it, should be, make it worth his while to support him appropriately Kedei L'Sayoi, in order to assist him L'Talmud Torah Kashuim L'Vovoi V'Yitzchayim Hi L'Machzikim Bo. And then, just skip a line and look what he says, as we see in the bold print here, and that's what I mentioned before, that v'chol mi sheragil b'sefer hazeh, look what the Shlach HaKodesh writes, that whoever is a rogel in this sefer, whoever is accustomed to learning the sefer, v'oimer roisa b'chol shvua oy b'chol chodesh, muftach loishu ben oylam haba, writes the Shloka Kodesh. Whoever learns the sefer on a frequent basis can be secured to be a ben oylam haba v'ashrei loy v'toiv loy mishimar galatz meboy, who makes it a regilus, makes it a habit to learn the sefer, and so on and so forth. So as we see here, it needs no extra commentary here. See the words of the Shloka Kodesh. Let's just take a look and turn the page, as we see here, in which is Omer Dalad in the editions that we have today here, most of us here. And you'll take a look. The Hagdomas Hamevi L'Tfus Arishin. This Tfus Arishin is the one that I was speaking about, which was printed in Venice in 1589. And it starts, and this is in every edition they usually print this, because this was the first one, so they print these few lines, what the publisher wrote. Publisher was the name of Moshe Besula, as you can see, from Italy. So Omar Moshe Besula, Yismach Moshe, meaning himself, B'mat Tono Toiva, Hoise Genuze. You know where this Ksaviyad came from? So we mentioned before. This Ksaviyad, the Ramam Apana was able to extract, right, from the Almona of the Ramak after his Patira. This is a tremendous find to be able to get this. That's what he's referring to. That this Ksaviyad, he says, Hoise Genuza Beginze Adoini Hamelech Haramah. That's the Ramah Mepanu. Calls him Adoini Hamelech. Venitnali Lazakis is Yisroel al Yedez Chus Arabim Tlu Yeboi. Bescharzois and Chus of my publishing the Sefer. Keil Chai Tzuri Vegayali the Rabbi Nishom Yezakeni Lazaz Benay Mashem. To be able to see and to be in the delight of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, levaker be'echol lechaber so'el b'har tzvi kodesh lavad avidosa kol yimei, to attach my dwelling in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, he's in Italy now, but he hopes in that tzchus to be able to lechaber so'el, to be able to pitch his tent, as it were, he says, b'har tzvi kodesh, which means in Eretz Yisrael, v'bolitzi in goyel v'zois ha'toyrish shesom Moshe b'nei b'nei Yisrael. So just interesting thing is, we don't know too much about this Rav Moshe Besula, but there is some reference to a grandfather, his mother's father, whose name was also Rav Moshe Besula. He was known as Rav Moshe Besula Hazokin, the elder Rav Moshe Besula. And that older Rav Moshe Besula, by the way, lived in Tzfas. So this Rav Moshe Besula lives in Venice, and the elder Rav Moshe Besula Hazokin, lives in Tzfas. And it is brought down that he was one of the Gedoyle v'chashuva Rabbonim. Originally he came from Italy. In Italy he was known as one of the Gedoyle v'chashuva Rabbonim, and ultimately when he moved to Tzfas, due to his godless, it is stated that every Shabbos the Gedoylem and Chachmei Tzfas used to come to visit him to be Mekabel Ponov. He was great in Kabbalah as well, and this was Rav Moshe Besula Hazokim. So upon this is it. If you see here in the box, this is a very well-known box. This is also printed in many editions that you have here, right after this. So we have here Habal Shloa Kodesh. This we said, Baskamosa L'Sefer Toimet Devoir. We just said that. Meid, V'chol Mi Shirogel B'Sefer Hazeh V'Oimer Oise B'chol Shvue B'chol Chodesh Muftach Lo Yishu Ben Olam Haba. But then look at the next line. U'mekuvel Ma'agoin HaKodesh HaDivrachayim Mitzanz. It's mekuvel from the Divrachayim Da'aloimet B'Sefer Hazeh Einoi Nivga Memach LaHayidua. This is not quoted exactly. The Machla Yidua is supposed to mean the Machla of cancer. In the time of the Divrei Chaim, they did not know of cancer, per se. He wasn't talking about cancer. He was talking about serious Machlas. But this quote, Lamaise, is a true quote for a different reason. Not the way it's quoted here. Rav Moshe Halberstam Zatzal was Nifter just a few months ago, when the Chavar HaBadatz, the Eid HaChredis, he said that he heard the Ferish from the Sat Meruv, that the Sat Meruv said that when the Divrei Chaim said that the Zgul of the Sefer is to be Matzal, he says, from serious Machlis. So he heard from the Satan Rebbe that he said, this means including, he says, the Machla of cancer as well. He said, the Machla Hayadua. So the Divrei Chaim did not actually say the Machla Hayadua, but Lamai said this was extracted from the words of the Divrei Chaim, and Lamai said the Satan Rebbe did say that what the Divrei Chaim said would apply as well to the Machla Hayadua also. So if this is basically, as we have here, our little introduction to the Sefer Toimet Devoir. So let's take a look, just a few lines. Let's take a look, first of all, we start here with the Perek Rishon. In Perek Rishon, we see here, that the Toimet Devoir is, he's telling us, Ho'odom Royu, he says, Shiyadame Likoinoi. It's proper for a man to emulate the one who created him. V'oz yeh b'soid hatzurah ha'olyoina. And then, in other words, if man emulates the one who created him, then he will fit the upper image. Man was created in an upper image. And in order to fit that upper image, it depends how he behaves. Only if he behaves in a certain way does he fit that upper image. So the Talmud Devarim here is telling us that Adam Roishi Dama Lekoinoi, that it's appropriate for man that he should emulate and follow in the ways of his creator. And then he says, V'ozia, and if he does that, then he will be besoid Hatsur El Yoina. So then he will fit the upper image. Tzelem Admus, meaning the Tzelem, which is the image and the likeness, because man was created in the image and in the likeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That itself will have to be explained also, what it means man was created in his form and the image of Hashem. Hashem, as you know, has no form. Hashem has no likeness. And this is one of the animamin. This is one of the things that we say, the 13 ikrim, animamin, b'mun shalem, shaboy yizbarach, ein aguf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a body, right? Ein aguf, lo yesegeu, mesigeu, aguf. We have no hasoge. We have no way even to fathom, you know, what the appearance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at all. So certainly does not have any type of a form that we can imagine. And therefore, when we say that man has been formed, man has been created, b'tzelem b'dmus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that itself needs to be explained, but let's leave that. But suffice to say that what the Talmud Devar is telling us, that becomes fulfilled by man's behavior. In order to be able to reach that tachlis, that man should be tzelem elikim, the definition of man being b'tzelem elikim depends truly on his behavior. He says, because she'ilu yiduma b'gufoi v'loi b'peulis. Because if a man only reflects Tzelem Elokim in a physical form, and again, what does it mean? How can we reflect Tzelem Elokim in a physical form? That again will be explained in the future. But the Talmud Devar says, merely man, due to his physical form, v'loy bepe'ulis, but if it's not in deed, if it's not with deeds, it is only in physical form, harehu machziv hatzura, then he's disgracing. He is disgracing, he says, his stature. Kodesh Baruch Hu created man to depict and be, as it were, a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, one can imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a mirror, something to be able to mirror HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Man in this world's tachlis is to be a mirror image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way that man fulfills that tafkid, fulfills that tachlis, is by following and emulating Hashem. By tikkun ha-midos, by the refinement of the midos. And if one does not behave properly, as befitting the Tzelem Elokim, then in fact he disgraced the tzura. It is similar to a person who, in daily life, someone who occupies a high position, he's an official or he's an officer, he's in the court of a king, or he's wearing a uniform. He's wearing a police uniform. He's wearing a uniform that's supposed to depict some sort of a chashivas. If a person is wearing a uniform, it does not behave in accordance of the uniform, of the message, then he's disgracing the uniform. Right? We say it all the time. You're disgracing the uniform. You have to behave in accordance to the uniform. Otherwise, you're disgracing the uniform. In that sense, man is carrying the Shem Hashem on his face and on his features. The Shem Hashem is upon him. Therefore, there's a sefer called Givas Pinchas. He was a Seren Cheruv, who was one of the Gedoyle Ungari Shir Rabbonim. So he once said Pshat, he says, Loisiso es Shem Hashem Lashov, which literally means not to swear, not to use Hashem's name in vain. He said there's another meaning. You, with your features, your very being, you are carrying the Shem Hashem on your face. B'tzelem Elokim. Borois, because Baruch Hu created you, B'tzelem Elokim. If you don't behave as is befitting the Shem Hashem, then you are machalul the Shem Hashem that's upon you. So he says, the Pasuk is telling us, the Pasuk is imploring, says the Givas Pinchas, Loisiso es Shem Hashem Lashov. Don't carry the uniform in vain. You are carrying the uniform of Hashem. Your features, your creation, your Ramachi Varim Shesaw Gidim that Kadosh Baruch Hu created is supposed to be a mirror image of Hashem. You are wearing the image of Hashem. That is the human being. And if one does not behave, then it is in vain. You have disgraced the uniform of Hashem that you are wearing. So that is in fact what the Talmud Devar is telling us. That if a person merely has a Tzelem Elokim only in physical form, but not, he says, in action, indeed, if it is not followed through with actions, then marzev atzura, he's falsifying the tzura. He is, in fact, he's disgracing the tzura. V'yoyim ro'olov, anyone who looks at this kind of a human being, they say, tzura nois, as a beautiful tzura, a beautiful form, but a masim chururim. However, they say, but look at that, he says, ugly deeds, ugly maisim, and a beautiful tzura. Imagine you see a beautiful tzura and you expect that this should bring about the consequences of this tzura, should bring benefit to the world, should bring light into the world. And here you have a tzura noah, because God created man in a tzura noah. But yet man, by his actions, is destroying and he is ruining that tzura which he was given. Sh'ikar ha'tzelem v'admus ha'elyoin, because in fact, what is the main, what is the true essential, right, aspect when you talk about tzelem elokim, what is the upper image? The main upper image and form is pu'uloisav. These are the deeds. Umay yoyoloi, what will it help him? What use will it be? Heyoisei kitzura ho'alyoina. What benefit does a man have merely having the physical form representing the upper image if it's not followed by action which is in harmony with what his physical form depicts, what is expected of that type of a physical form? So umay yoyoloi, what benefit is there, Hayoisek Kitsura Hal Yoina, that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him this tremendous form, which is a mirror of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Mus Tavni Sevorov, the whole form of all of his limbs, the way it was put together by Hashem, and yet Ubepeulois Lo Yidmelukoina. And yet, when it comes to actions, he Bechlal falls short of emulating Hashem. Lefichoch, therefore, Royu She Yidame El Peulois HaKeser. Therefore, a man has to try to compare and to emulate. Keser means the highest form. Keser means the highest form of the midos. And that, in fact, what are the characteristics that we're looking for? Shein shloish esre midos shel rachmim elyonos. We're talking about man has to follow in the 13 attributes, the shloish esre midos shel rachmim, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu possesses, and we have to follow in the same 13 attributes of mercy, of rachmim, that, of course, is attributed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is unique, as you'll see right now, between what the Talmud Dvoira here is bringing out, we know that the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim, right, are of a different nature, different wording, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum, Bechanun, and so on, Erchapayim, Rav Chesed, Viemes. The Talmud Dvoira also is talking about Yud Gimel Midos, but not the Yud Gimel Midos that's mentioned in the Torah, the Yud Gimel Midos, which is mentioned in Micha, that the Novi Micha mentions, and he's going to break it down as we see, step by step, as we see, page after page. He's going to break down and explain what is the mechayiv, what is expected, each midah, what is the definition, what does each of the midahs mentioned in Micha, and he breaks it down to 13. You have to know where to put the commas here, by the way, to come to the cheshem of 13. As he quotes here the posik, Mikael Kamoicho, right? By the way, that's one. As you'll see later on, this is how he breaks it down. Mikael Kamoicho, which means, who is like you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who is like you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mikael Kamoicho. That is a midah to emulate. Now, how do you emulate Mikael Kamoicho? So just to give you an idea, he's going to say it later on, but just to have an idea, a little bit of a taste. He says, Mikael Kamoicho, imagine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants man a bechira, gives man a choice that he's able to do whatever he wants to do. Of course, later on, there's going to be Schar V'Yoinish. But in the meantime, when man is on this world, he has the brera, he has the bechira, he has the choice. He has the choice to behave for better or for worse. Imagine, a person, if he wants to, he has a koyach to be a moirid b'malchus shamayim. If you want to, you can be mechalal, you can destroy anything that is holy, anything that is dear, you can destroy the Beis Hamikdash, you can do things, you can swear, you can do everything and anything which is diametrically opposed, which is the opposite of Kedusha. You can be mevazi cholila, you can be mevareches Hashem. How can you be mevareches Hashem? Who gave you the koyach? Who gives you the koyach of life? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a neshama, so he gave you a koyach of life. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a koyach of life, you're taking the energy and the strength that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, and you're using it to shame Hashem. You're using it to be mechalal Hashem. You're using it to desecrate Hashem. How much tolerance would a human being have that to allow you to be able, to allow you to attack him with the ammunition that he's giving you? In other words, can you imagine someone going up to his neighbor and says, listen, can I borrow a bat, a baseball bat? He says, okay, you know, in good intentions, you give him the baseball bat, and he takes the baseball bat, and he bashes and smashes him in his head. Now, I borrow the bat from you, and now I use it against you. What kind of a chutzpah? This is the lowest. I borrow something from you to be able to use it against you. We have life from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every moment and every breath, and we take that life to use it against Hashem by not following the ways of Hashem. And yet Hashem tolerates it for quite a long time. Mikael Kamoicha. We learn tolerance. That's the midah of Mikael Kamoicha. That is what we have to learn. That's the first midah. Mikael Kamoicha. Who is like the Rabbi Nishloim? Who has so much patience? Who has tolerance to that degree? But we see Hashem's tolerance. At least we learn out to emulate Hashem some way, to be able to be a little bit tolerant, to be able to learn this midah of Savlonis from the attribute of Hashem. So that just gives us a little bit of an idea, a little bit of an inkling of how this follows on as we go from one to the other. The next one is, it says, Noiseyovin. Noiseyovin means that Kodesh Baruch Hu, of course, he removes sin. Number three, Vayivar al Pesha, means there are some ways that Hashem will overlook transgressions. Of course, there are conditions of how, but nevertheless, this is what happens, and he'll explain it. Number four, L'she'eris Nachlosoi, to the remnant of his heritage. And we'll see what that means also. Number five, Lo Hechzig Lo Ad Apoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not anger eternally. There is a limit. There's a limit to the wrath, there's a limit to the anger of Hashem. It's not forever. We have to learn from that also, even if we get angry. But there should be a limit. Lo Hechzig Lo Ad Apoy. Again, later on he explains in detail each and every one of this. And then we go further. Number six, Ki Chofetz Chesed Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a chofetz chesed. He is one who desires kindness. Number seven is Yoshev Yerachmenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu again will have rachmim upon us. Nine, Yichboi Shavoy Nisenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu suppresses our averis. That's number eight. Nine, V'sashlich Bimtzulis Yom Kol Chatoisom. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws all the averis into the depths of the sea. Then we have ten, Titenemus L'Yakov, means give truth to Yaakov. 11 is Chesed Avram, give kindness to Avram. 12, Asher Nishbatal Avoseinu, as you have sworn, of course, to our Ovois. And 13 is Mimei Kedem, from days of old. Again, these seem sort of like riddles, some of them. See, what kind of attributes are some of these phrases? And this is the tachlis of the Sefer Torah Devaira, to show us V'holachto B'drochov, how to use all of these 13 attributes, L'maisa, how to translate them into positive action, how to be able to use it. And therefore he continues and he says, V'achshav neforish oisan ha'pulish shlosh esrei, and says, and now we'll explain the 13 functions of these attributes. So we're going to stop here. Let me just tell you that when the first words of the Talmud Devarim, if you notice, he says that royu ho'odom royu she is dama lekoinoi, that is appropriate for a man, right? She is dama, that he should emulate his creator. In other words, with these simple few words, the Talmud Devarim is telling us, the Ramak is telling us the definition of man. Odom. What is Odom? What is the tafkid of Odom? He says, Ho-Odom, that's the title, Ho-Odom royu shiz dama lekoinoi. Man has to, this is his tafkid, his choiv is, whatever he does is refinement of character, because in fact, what is the mile of man over all of creation? What makes man? What puts him above all of creation? Because man, above all of creation, is Betzalim Elokim. The rest of the Nevroim, all the other members of the Bria, were not created Betzalim Elokim. So what distincts man? What's the distinction of man? The distinction of man is that it was created Betzalim Elokim. If that's the definition of man, so he has to behave like that. That's what gives him the title Odom. Man's title Odom is due to the fact that he was created Betzalim Elokim. Therefore, Odom Roish is Dam Elokoinoi. In Tzura, in Pu'ula, not to disgrace the uniform. And why does it say the Lashon Royu? Why not Chayev? We know V'holachto B'drochov is a Chiyuv. There's a Chiyuv. It's not just Royu means it's a nice thing to do. Why does it say Royu? It's a Chiyuv. But the truth is, what the Ramak is trying to tell us, that the mitzvah, the Chiyuv, that a person should follow in these midos, is not just because there's a mitzvah, but by the very nature of your creation, by the very nature that you were created in this way, that alone behooves that you behave in a proper way that's befitting a human being. Of course there's a mitzvah of olachto bedrochov. But Ramak wants to tell you, understand what type of a person you are. Understand the milas that HaKadosh Baruch has given you as an Odom. The very fact that you were created b'tzuras Odom, that alone, besides the mitzvah of olachto bedrochov, your very being, your very essence, cries out demanding a certain behavior, appropriate behavior. That's why he says, Odom Royu. Besides the mitzvah, but the very fact that the nature of your creation behooves that a person should be noig in his midos, in fact, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, since a person was created B'Tzelem Elokim, you know what that means? It means we have it within us. A person will say, I can't be such a Baal Midos. It's too hard for me to suppress my anger. It's too hard for me to be a non-of. It's easier, of course, to be a Baal Gaive. I never can be or reach a certain level of anivis. I never will be able to be able to follow in a way to suppress my anger or to have tolerance. It's not true. Because if you are created B'Tzelem Elokim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, has all of these midos, and you're created B'Tzelem Elokim, it means it's in you. Your avoid is only to develop it and to bring it out. That's also what we learn from here. What we learn is that every person has the potential to be able to reach lemus and to be able to certain to refine his character. Of course, there's no end, there's no gavul. But every person is able to do it. Because if you're created B'Tzelem Elokim, the seeds are planted within you. But your avoida is in order to bring it out. Agaburche, there are in the Iyunim from Cheskel Sarne, by the way, also had a shir. Cheskel Sarne also, Shivas Chevron, also had a shir in Toyma Devaira. And there, Taki also asked the Kashi, it says, Ho'odom Royu, it's appropriate, she is Dam Lekoinoi. So he says, what do you mean? Is it not a mitzvah? So he says, it's not only a mitzvah. Of course it's a mitzvah. But Royu means, because this is Malas Odom. If you want to live up to the Malas Odom, and you want to be different than other creations, what distinguishes you? Because you are an Odom. And what's the definition of an Odom? Behaving and following the midas of Hashem. So in order to live up to the Mila of your tzura, to live up to the definition of man that you are, otherwise you are no different than anything else in the Bria. But to live up to what is expected of you, being an Odom, is a Odom Roish Adam Lekoinibix. Only that is the definition of Odom.